Well, Jesus said over in John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth and is still alive, he that believeth shall not die. And what? Yet shall he live. And what? Believest thou this? That's the question. Y'all believe in the resurrection? That's what I'm trying to get across. You know, I got some good news for you. You see, Solomon said over in Proverbs 25:25, he says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the good news I want to share this morning is that Jesus is alive. He is not dead, even though there's skeptics out there. For thousands of years, they've tried to prove that it's a hoax. No man can live after he's dead. But beloved, we have the holy word of God. And let me just say this before I even get to my text. There were people that Jesus rose that were dead. We have Lazarus. We have the widow of Nain's son. We have Jairus' daughter. But listen, it says that they rose from the dead. To be quite honest, they were resuscitated. Okay? Jesus truly rose from the dead. Jesus truly was resurrected. Amen? And again, there's all kinds of theories out there. But let me ask you a question. Common sense. I mean, we're all smart, aren't we? We should be. I ain't even going to go with what I'm thinking. Okay, the tomb is empty. I seen it with my own eyes. But here's my question. Where's the body? You're going to tell me in all these thousands of years of people searching and looking, where's the body? I'll tell you where the body is. It's with God our Father in heaven, sitting at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for us. Because He's alive. He's alive. Mock if you want to. But you see, the good news is this. Not only is He alive, but He loves us so much that He died to atone for our sins. And when He died, that was not the end of it. You know, when He cried out, "It is finished," He didn't mean, "I'm done for." When He cried out, "It's finished," it means God's plan of redemption for the whole entire world was fulfilled. Think about that. And it is finished. There's nothing else that needs to be done except people receive Him into their hearts and accept His gift. So everybody, stand with me, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And yes, in the four Gospels, there's many different passages that describe over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's several other passages throughout the New Testament that speak of the resurrection. Romans 4:25 is one, but we're going to look at Luke and we're going to get his perspective on the resurrection. Did I say Luke? I mean Mark, yeah. Hey, it's been a long week. I've had grandkids. No, hey, Speaking of them, I guess I'm going to have them a little longer. There's a good chance you're going to be moving back home. So I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. All right, Mark chapter 16. Is everybody there? Evidently, I wasn't. But Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, in the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us this time to celebrate your resurrection. And Lord, we thank you for everyone that has come out to celebrate and worship today in your house. And Father, you've heard the prayer requests. You know each need. And Father, because you are alive and you are our intercessor, Lord, we know that we can bring our petitions to you. And Lord, pray and ask that your blessed will be done. And Lord, we know that you'll answer according to your will. So those that are sick and afflicted, those, Lord, that have to make decisions, Lord, concerning the health of a loved one, Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct and give them wisdom to do that which you'd lead them to do. And Father, we lift up our country. We lift up our troops and their families. And Father, we need revival. We just pray that your will be done and you'll send revival our way. May we all, Lord, be revived, and may we examine our own hearts, Lord. There's things in our lives and in our hearts that shouldn't be there. May we repent of them and turn from them, and may we be revived. As I break the bread of life, give me the words to say, bring to my memory those things I've studied. And Lord, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this privilege and this honor, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. And we'll begin, and he says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now everybody understands, correct, that Jesus was not crucified on Friday. Contrary to what some will say, and they're supposed to be scholars, I wonder. Listen, it's impossible. Jesus said he had to be in the center of the earth 3 full days and 3 full nights. So the only way that can line up is he had to have been crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb by sunset Wednesday night, and then it went from sunset Wednesday night till sunset Thursday night. That's one day and one night. Amen. Thursday, sunset till Friday, sunset 2 days. Friday, sunset, Saturday, sunset 3 days. You say, well, how do you explain the first day of the week then? It's very easy. After sunset, it became a new day. It was Sunday. Amen? It was Sunday. Now, you won't hear that in some places. They'll talk about Good Friday. There wasn't nothing good about Friday. The goodness came on the first day of the week when he came out of that empty tomb. Amen. The good thing came when he died to atone for our sins. But listen to me. It is a fallacy, and it's false to believe that Jesus was crucified on Friday. Now notice these women. Because of the Sabbath, they weren't able to anoint his body. Remember when Jesus was crucified, he died for our sins? Joseph of Arimathea, and who? Nicodemus asked for his body. They buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. They wrapped his body and they put a few spices there, but because of the Sabbath, they had to leave. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, they were waiting so that they could anoint his body with spices. And by the way, what they were doing was wanting to put spices on there because, you know, what happens when a body dies? It begins to, what? Decompose. But they could not go anywhere because it was the Sabbath. So they had to wait till that Saturday evening. And then they went out and bought spices. Now they had to get up very, very early. And the Bible tells us that they got up to go for that very thing. You see, they were wanting to anoint his body because they were devoted to him. And they had thought he was the Messiah, but he died. They had thought he had come to establish God's kingdom here on earth, but he died. And believe me, it was doom. It was gloom. They hoped he had been the one. But because they were devoted to him and they had followed him and they had heard him preach and saw the miracles, they loved him. And by the way, we're here this morning because we love him, right? Amen. That's good. We should for what he did for us. But they get up that morning and they head to the tomb with the spices and they're talking about, how are we going to roll the stone away? And by the way, those stones, they weren't 20 pounds. We're looking at hundreds of pounds. Some of them could even be half a ton. But out of devotion, out of love for him, they head to the tomb. And notice what it says. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Now, just another thing added to their suffering and broken heart. Yes, we want to prepare his body. We want to anoint his body with these spices, but how are we going to roll that stone away? And beloved, the Lord God took care of that little problem. You see, he sent an angel to roll the stone away. And it wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let them in to see that the tomb was empty. Amen. But here's what Matthew said. He said that, you know, after Jesus was crucified, priests went to Pilate and said, hey, you know, you need to put a guard, a Roman guard around the tomb. You need to seal that thing because his disciples were going to rob his body. But you see, the women weren't aware of any of that. They didn't know that there was going to be a Roman guard. And by the way, when they got there, according to Matthew, they were as dead men laying on the ground. That's the power of God, by the way, in case you need to be reminded. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. So again, as I said, the stone was rolled away. And I want us to stop for a second, think about that stone. You see, we all have a stone around our hearts. Stone of unbelief. Stone of sin. A stone of lack of faith. A stone of lack of service. A stone. And I want you to understand the only way that that stone can ever roll away is we must allow God to do it. We must allow Him to roll the stone away from our hearts that are cold and indifferent. Some of you may be here this morning and you've never truly accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Oh, you've went through the motions. You belong to a church. Can I just tell you, just because you're a church member, that doesn't mean you're a child of God and that you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lots of people are banking that because they belong to a church, they're going to go to heaven. That's not what gets us to heaven. It's what Jesus did for us. Amen. Amen. Listen, had Jesus just died, we'd still be in trouble. See, that's not the end of the story. That's, again, I've got great news from a far country. He lives. He's alive. Amen. He didn't just die. Yes, He died to make atonement for our sins, and that's what the angel's going to tell these ladies. It's true, you saw with your eyes He was crucified. It's true. See that blood that flowed down? That was His. But He's risen. He's not here. Amen? Now, notice. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. Well, that young man was an angel, beloved. There was an angel sitting there. Y'all believe in angels? Amen. Because they exist. But listen to me. There are those that will tell you an angel will save you. No, Jesus only saves. You can worship angels every day. They don't have no saving power. I had a neighbor lived across the street. Wonderful little Polish lady. Henrika. I can't even pronounce her last name. Yeah. Made the best cheesecake you ever had. But being from Poland, she was brought up Catholic, her and her husband. And literally in her yard, of course she had her shrine of Mary, and she had this statue and that statue. And then when you'd go into her home, I can't tell you. She had just her and Ed. They didn't have no children. But she had a nice big home. And all of her bedrooms, except the one that she shared with her husband, was full of angel figurines. And I asked her, I said, Henrika, why do you have all of these angels? Where's Jesus? She goes, oh, I love Jesus. But I go, why do you have the angels? The angels didn't do nothing for us. It was Jesus. And she goes, no. She goes, I have a angel that's special to me that I pray to all the time. And I said, I hope you understand what I'm fixing to say. And she didn't. But I want you to understand, Henrika, an angel cannot save you. You can worship them, you can respect them, but they don't save you. Only Jesus saves. Amen. Now, there's a young man clothed in a long white garment. And the Bible says they were affrighted. In other words, They were scared to death. They were sore afraid. Amen. Anybody ever been there? Yes. Time I ride with my wife. I'm sore afraid. I love her. But listen to me. They were literally scared out of their minds. They were afraid when they see this young man arrayed in white. It was something they didn't expect. They went into the tomb, the sepulcher, and here this person is sitting there. And look at what he says. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. In other words, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. He says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Beloved, understand, Jesus took your place and my place on the cross. He was crucified for you and I. He was crucified to make atonement for our sins. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Boy, I wish more people would seek him today. Here is three words that thrill my heart. He is risen. Amen. He's risen. And even though I said earlier there's skeptics out there that doubt his resurrection, they doubt that a man that is dead can live again, we are not talking about an ordinary man. We're talking about God who manifested himself in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, his Son, who came into the world to die to atone for our sins, which he did. Listen, he's risen and death has no dominion over him. And because he lives, guess what? Death has no dominion over us. We can't be afraid of death. Listen, death is a friend of the child of God. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. People are so scared. I talk to people that are believers. Don't get me wrong, I'm in no hurry. Amen. I'm not going to walk out in the middle of the street and let a truck hit me because I want to get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not afraid of dying because I know when I draw my last breath, I will be in his presence. Amen. Why? Because Brother Ciro, he's risen. He is alive, and I love what he says. He is risen. He is what? Not here. Now, here's another little, we say we're smart. The angel tells those women, you seek Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's risen. He's not here. Everybody said, especially the Jews at that time, when word was told that he had been resurrected, they all made up the story that his body had been taken by the disciples. Now, there's two things I want us to think about. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the resurrection was a hoax. Two things I want to bring to your attention. The moment, if Jesus hadn't rose from the dead, the moment the disciples started preaching about the resurrection, believe me, the Jews would have presented his body had they stolen it right then. But they didn't. And I'll throw this in. The disciples, had they taken his body, aren't going to die for a lie. I'll just tell you that right now. No. He's risen. And he's not here. He's not here. What a Savior. Amen. Notice with me, real quick. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples. And Peter, get this, tell his disciples and Peter. Why is that important? That he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said unto you. So, the angel instructs those ladies to go to disciples and to remind them, Jesus, he's alive, he's risen, and he will meet with you in Galilee where he told you he would meet you. But then he says, oh, by the way, tell Peter. You see, when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him. That's right, three times. And now, God, through the word of the angel, is telling those women, oh, by the way, tell the disciples I love them, and also let Peter know, I love you. And I'll see you where I told you I would see you. And you see, even though Peter failed him, anybody ever failed the Lord? Yes. Amen. We all have, haven't we? Isn't it good to know he still loves us? Amen. Isn't it good to know that he loves us unconditionally, no matter how many times we stub our toe? And let me tell you something about the resurrection. I've seen the power of the resurrection in my life and in the life of others. Right, Brother Ciro? And there's something about that life. You see, when a person by faith accepts the resurrection, what a change. And then as that faith grows in that power of the resurrection, they become more and more engrossed in wanting to please the Father. Even though not perfect, but the power of the resurrection can change any life. Doesn't matter how bad a life. It has the power to change. You see, because it's new life, we become new creatures, new creations in Christ Jesus. And even though Peter failed him, God's telling the angel, hey, tell Peter, I'm risen. I'm not here. Peter, I love you. I'll see you. And let me just say this morning, one day he's going to see us, those of us that know Christ as our personal Savior. He's going to see us. Now notice, the Bible says, and they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Now, there's a difference in being scared and affrighted and amazed. You see, what that word amazed means, after they left the sepulcher, was their minds were blown. Couldn't believe what they had seen and heard. And to you and I couldn't believe when I heard the gospel that God loved this old wicked sinner and was willing, if I would just trust in what he did for me on the cross, ask him into my heart, he would save me. Oh, I was amazed after he saved me too. I still pinch myself. Amen. But beloved, listen to me. You know why I preach the gospel, his death and his burial and his resurrection. You know why I do that? Because I know it's true. It's true. Think about this. The day before those women were able to go to the sepulcher, they pretty much hung their heads in sorrow, brokenhearted, thinking, oh, what a terrible day. I witnessed with my own eyes his death on that cross. We thought he would have been the one. But understand this. The very next day, that was Saturday. The next day, the first day of the week, Sunday, was a new day. You see, we never know what a day is going to bring, right? One day, we have our spouses. The next day, they're gone. One day, we were in good health. The next day, we go to the doctor, and we've got a serious illness. One day, everything is working good. But the next day, issues. But you see, our hearts and the devil likes to tell us that those bad days are just what we can expect. And the reason that we get down and discouraged is we stay in that one day that the devil tells us it's bad. But always remember there's a new day coming. The next day is better than the last. Those ladies found out there on Saturday everything was bad, but Sunday morning, different story. So if you're here this morning and you're dwelling in Saturday, understand Sunday morning is coming. Question I have for you is, do you know this risen Savior of that Sunday morning? I pray you do. Now, we know the rest of the story through the Gospels. They went to the disciples and said, hey, he is risen. He's alive. And of course, the reaction was, you ladies don't know what you're talking about. Y'all are off your rocker. But finally, John and Peter ran to the sepulcher and saw with their own eyes the tomb was empty, and went back and shared with the other disciples what had taken place. And then everyone there believed except one that was missing. His name was Thomas. Old Doubting Thomas. Didymus. He wasn't there. You say, well, where was he? Can't tell you. He should have been there, but he wasn't. And of course, when he does show up and they share the news, what did he say? Unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I'm able to thrust my hand into his side where he was pierced, I will not believe. Lots of doubters out there today. Are you one of them? And here's the good thing. Thomas got called to the carpet immediately because Jesus showed up. Isn't that just like Jesus to show up in a time you least expect him? That's what he's known for. He shows up and he says, hey, Thomas, behold my hands. Thomas, take your hand and thrust it into my side. And of course, we know Thomas had his eyes open when he saw the Lord. In fact, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you now believe. But blessed are those that have never seen and yet still believe. Amen. Are you amongst one of those that's not seen but still believe? You know, I've never seen my Savior yet with these old eyes, but I'm going to. Why? Because I believe. And those of you that have been blood bought by faith, you believe. And the Lord says, we're blessed because even though we haven't seen, we've believed. So, in close, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall die after 100 years. That's right. Never die. Amen. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? Tomb's empty. He's risen. He's not there. You say, well, where could he be? He's in heaven. And one of these days, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and he's going to come back in the clouds, and the dead are going to be called up to meet him there, and then we that are alive and remain are going to be called up to meet him in the clouds. That's called the rapture. And then after that, guess what? He's going to come again. Amen. It's called the second coming after the tribulation. And after that, guess what? He's going to come back again, and we're going to see him because he's going to install the millennial kingdom where he rules and he reigns. And then we're going to get to see him again when he is in the glory of heaven on his throne and all of his children throughout all eternity get to behold him and worship him as God's Lamb. That'll light you shucks. Blessed is he that hadn't seen but yet believes. So, in close, believest thou this? He is the resurrection and he is the life. And he offers every man, woman, boy, and girl life this morning. It's yours just by the asking. Would you accept him? Would you stand with me, please, and close your eyes as we pray?